Good morning again, everyone. Let me invite you to keep your Bibles open, and let me pray and ask God to help us hear His most holy and gracious word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you speak powerfully. Your word, when it goes out, never returns to you empty. And so we pray that as we hear your word, as we've heard it read, as we hear it applied to our hearts, Lord, that may you grow that word powerfully and fruitfully in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the hardest concepts in the Bible to explain, I think this is true of Christians as well as to non-Christians, is the idea or the concept of grace. God's grace in the Bible is an act of undeserved kindness, an act of generosity that we receive from someone that we totally do not deserve. Now, I experienced a small taste of grace a few years ago when I was flying from Brisbane to Sydney. I was actually delayed in Brisbane because of the weather. The flight was delayed. I had to stay overnight there, stayed at the airport. And on the way from the hotel to Brisbane Airport, I actually got to share a taxi ride with someone else. Someone had already booked a taxi ride. I shared that ride with this lady and had a great conversation. She was a lady who worked for the PCYC, had a great love for youth work. But when we got there, she not only allowed me to share the taxi, she actually paid for the taxi ride and refused to take my money. And she said, pay it forward. It was an act of kindness that I didn't deserve. She was a complete stranger. She had every right to expect me to pay at least half of taxi fare. But she chose to show grace, to show generosity to a complete stranger. Now, that's a small picture of what grace looks like. It's an act of kindness to someone that they do not deserve. And in the book of Jonah, the story of Jonah is the story of God's grace, God's kindness, God's generosity to people who don't deserve it. God's kindness to Jonah. When Jonah runs away, God graciously persists with Jonah. And when the Ninevites, when they repent, when they turn to God, God graciously shows kindness to them by not destroying them as he had planned. Jonah is a story of God's amazing grace. And the tension in the story comes from this fact, from Jonah's own response to God's grace. Jonah's response to God's grace is one of anger. Jonah refuses to accept that God could be gracious to someone else, that God could be gracious to Nineveh. And Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. It was the mortal enemy of the Israelites. It was a nation that had invaded Israel a number of times and would continue to do so, eventually destroy the whole northern part of Israel and resettle them. And from Jonah's perspective, what they did to Israel cruelly and brutally, and what they would do, could not be forgiven. See, Jonah refused to accept God's grace, God's kindness to an enemy people. And this is what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. When After God shows grace, God decides not to destroy Nineveh. This is what Jonah says. To Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." See, God sent Jonah on a mission that he hated. And having delivered God's warning and Nineveh as a whole, surprisingly, from the least to the greatest of them, repented. They called out to God. And in response to them turning away from the extent of their evil and their violence, God decides not to destroy them. And Jonah is so displeased, so angry, that life for him is no longer worth living. If God shows grace to my mortal enemy, life is no longer worth living. I'm ready to be thrown overboard once again. That's how angry and Jonah is. And the extent of his anger might be like being asked to forgive someone, a reckless driver who runs over a family member. How can you expect me to forgive those who have hurt me or my loved ones the most? So Jonah is extremely angry. And so, this final part of the story, God responds to Jonah's anger, and God again responds with great patience and great persistence, and with the goal of not only expecting Jonah to obey, but for Jonah's heart to be transformed. God wants a heartfelt response from Jonah. So God doesn't just come down hard at him. God speaks to him. And God demonstrates his grace to him. And there are three aspects of God's grace that God wants to make clear to Jonah. Three aspects of God's grace that God wants us to understand. Three aspects of God's grace are these. That God's grace is unearned, God's grace is freely given, and God's grace is extended to all people. It's unearned, freely given, and extended to all people. God's grace, by definition, is unearned and undeserved. See, Jonah himself didn't deserve God's grace, did he? See, Jonah acted rebelliously against God, repeatedly and stubbornly, to the point of drowning. Jonah refused to obey and deserved to die. And yet, God showed unearned, undeserved grace to him by rescuing him when he called out to God at the very last minute. Jonah didn't deserve it. And then when Jonah storms out of the city angrily, and when he's angry enough to die a second time, goes out of the city, sets up a shelter to look over the city, and you know, he's really hoping that Nineveh will still be destroyed. He's waiting to see what will happen. And in the hot midday sun, God shows grace to him by causing a plant to grow, a shade to go over his head to ease his discomfort. And we're told that God appoints this plant to save Jonah from his discomfort, It's a reminder again of a second act of salvation. God saves Jonah from his discomfort. And it's an act that Jonah doesn't deserve. And God reminds Jonah this. After Jonah gets angry about the plant. See, because not only does God send the plant to ease the discomfort, God also withers the plant, destroys the plant by sending a worm and causing the sun and the hot wind to beat against his face so that he suffers for it. And God is exposing Jonah's heart and reminding him of God's undeserved grace to him. In verse 9, God says to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And Jonah said, "It is, and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." And God responds, "You've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight." See, this plant was a gift from God. God had the right to give it. God had the right to take it away. It was an act of complete, undeserved grace to Jonah. It's like if a friend lends you a car for a week, and at the end of the week, you decide that you like the car so much that you decide it's yours. It now belongs to you. I'm going to drive it. I'm not going to return it. See, that demonstrates how little we appreciate the gift, doesn't it? If we act like that. Because the one who gives also has the right to take back what they own. God's grace is completely undeserved and unearned. And the third thing to notice is that Jonah himself was no more deserving than the Ninevites or the sailors who called out to God. In fact, in the story itself, the emphasis of the author is this, that the sailors and the Ninevites acted even more honorably than Jonah himself. They called out to God immediately. They had a wholehearted turning to God, unlike Jonah's temporary, self-focused repentance. See, God's grace that he wants to show to Jonah is unearned and undeserved. Neither Jonah, nor the sailors, nor the Ninevites deserved the goodness and the kindness of God. And the Bible teaches that not one of us deserve God's kindness and goodness that he shows to us. Romans chapter 3, 10 to 11 says, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who does good. All have turned away." This is God's verdict. It's not that relative to other people, compared to other people, that we might not be morally better than someone else. But the Bible says that before God's perfection, his goodness, before God's holiness, all have turned away from him. There is no one righteous. And sin, the wages of sin is death and judgment. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and there is not one of us who deserve God's goodness and God's kindness. God's grace is something that is an act that we can never demand or expect that it is our right to own. Grace to us, to all God's people, Christian and non-Christian alike, is an act of undeserved generosity and kindness. Here's the second thing that God wants to teach Jonah. Second thing about God's grace is that the grace that God gives is freely given. God's grace that he gives is an act of his absolute freedom to give it. See, God can give and God can take it away. God can choose who receives it and who doesn't receive it. See, the worst that God can give to every one of us is justice. See, when it comes to us, in terms of how we treat each other, the best we can give each other is justice. But the worst that God can give to us is justice. For God to give us what we deserve is God's absolute right. And the best that he can give us is his forgiving grace, his love, his goodness, his generosity. And that goodness and that generosity, which is unearned, is one in which God has absolute freedom to give whomever he chooses to give. Now imagine if I turn up at Brisbane Hospital waiting for the flight inside the terminal. There's two booths there. Well, I've actually experienced this once. I've seen one booth, but I'm making up the second one. Two booths that are calling out for donations. One is a Save the Children Fund, and the other is an Australian Conservation Fund. And both of them are competing for funding, competing for donors, for sponsors. Both are competing for my money as I'm walking past. And as I walk past, they're competing for my money. You might become heated, might become competitive, might become nasty. They might call out to me and try and provoke me and guilt me into giving. And as I walk past, as someone who's a free citizen, do I have the right to choose whom I will give to, or choose whom I will not give to? If I chose to give to the Australian Conservation Fund, which is an environmental wildlife fund, and not the Save the Children Fund, do I have the right to do that? And even if the Save the Rights of Children Fund call me a misanthropist, that is a hater of human beings, because I'm not giving it to them, do I still have that right to choose, regardless of what I'm accused of? And the answer is yes, isn't it? I, as a free citizen, have the right to choose. How much more does God, the God of the universe, have the right to choose whom he will show grace to? And what right does Jonah have to tell God whom he can or cannot show grace to and to forgive? And you know what? It's actually the pagans in the story who acknowledge this truth. Have a look with me at chapter 1, verse 14. Chapter 1, verse 14. When the sailors throw Jonah overboard, they cry out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." See, the sailors acknowledge that even though they called out to God at that point, God still had the right to kill them or to rescue them. God had the right to do what he pleased. God's grace is an act of God's absolute freedom. And in chapter 3, look at the Ninevites' response. In chapter 3, verse 9, the king issues his decree that all people and animals, herds and flocks, be prohibited from tasting anything, that they might have a national fast, that everyone be covered with sackcloth and call out urgently to God to turn from the evil ways. And this is what the decree says. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion and turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. See, the pagans acknowledge this truth. God's grace is an act of his absolute freedom. Now, how different is it to how we, 21st century, to how we Christians today respond to God's grace? Isn't it true that we naturally take God's grace for granted? Isn't it true that over time we expect that having lived a faithful life, a life of following Christ, that we think we are somehow more deserving than those who don't believe? But here is the confronting truth that we often don't realize or acknowledge, that God has, and God had, and God has every right to not show you or me any grace whatsoever. If God sent all of us to a place of eternal separation from him, God would be perfectly right, perfectly just. And yet, we think somehow, if we repent, that we deserve it anymore. This is what God is teaching Jonah. What God is teaching us today, that even if you and I put on sackcloth, if we cried out day and night, if we fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, God would still have the right to not show grace. And by definition, grace is unearned and undeserved. When Paul in Romans chapter 9 answers the question of, you know, why doesn't God save more of the Jews? This is the answer that he gives. Actually, he quotes Exodus. He quotes God's words in Exodus regarding the Egyptians. God says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. See, God's grace given to you or I is an act of God's absolute freedom. Unearned, undeserved, freely given to you and I who have received it. And God's grace, in the third place, is one in which he extends to all people. God extends his grace to all people. Verse 10, chapter 4. The Lord says to Jonah, you have been concerned about this plant, but you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and die overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? So God is saying to Jonah that he not only has the right to show grace to whomever he chooses. But God cares for people far more than he cares for plants. God cares for the lost. God cares for the Ninevites as much as he cares for the Israelites. All people, Bible teaches us, are made in the image of God. No matter what race or age or occupation or religious background, every person is made in the image of God and are precious to him, are of great worth to him. And so God cares for people beyond the Israelites. God cares for people beyond those who are the immediate chosen people of God. God cares for people from Israel to Syria, from Egypt to China, from the Irish to the Australians, from those who live in the Amazon jungle to the Ethiopians in Africa. And God's heart, see, has always been that all nations come to a saving knowledge of himself. This is what drives our mission outreach, not only here in Sydney, but in every part of the world. And this is what drives the majority of our missionary organizations. What drives us, what drives our missionaries, is a heart for the most unreached people groups on this planet. What drives them is a heart for the unreached people groups on this planet. And what is it that gives them this heart? It is the heart of God himself who extends his grace to every person. This is why he sent Jonah to Nineveh. And this is why he continues to send people today. The commission in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where Jesus promises that his disciples would be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that they would be his witnesses. Jesus says, "And you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." See, God's mission, God's heart, is for every people group on this planet. It is the expression of God's, it is the way God has freely chosen to apply his grace to people who don't deserve it. And you know, that includes ourselves. We, just like Jonah, are recipients of God's unearned kindness. We, just like Jonah, are the recipients of God's grace, in which God has freely chosen to love us. We, like Jonah and the Ninevites, are people whom God has extended his forgiving grace to. And ultimately, it's a grace that's not just kind and good, but it's also just. And do you know why it's just? Do you know why God is just and forgiving? Because God's own Son took on our justice in our place. Jesus, in his death on the cross, died for the sins that we deserved. The sins that we committed against God are what Jesus took and suffered for in our place, so that God's grace could be given to us in a way that's free to ourselves, but at infinite cost to himself. And that is the kind of God that he reveals himself to be in the book of Jonah, and in his Son, and in the Gospel. God's love is unearned. It's freely given. And it's extended out to all people. And so God sends people like Jonah. And God sends people like you and I to be witnesses of that amazing grace that God offers to all. And some, by God's sovereign grace, might be saved. So how are we then to respond to God's grace this morning? Let me offer you three ways that we can respond. Number one, we can respond with a heartfelt response to God's word. This is what God wants. God doesn't just want actions. God doesn't just want us to respond in a mere obedience. God wants our hearts to be transformed. God wants a wholehearted response. It's not enough for Jonah to do what he's told. God wants Jonah to embrace, to be amazed, and to embrace God's grace himself. God wants our hearts to be moved in obedience. God wants our hearts to be filled with joy. God wants our hearts to be earnest in prayer, in thanksgiving, calling out to God, seeking to share the gospel, being so driven by the grace of God that we would share with others. Second way we can respond is similar, which is this. Let's be amazed once more that God has chosen you and I to be members of his people. Let's be amazed once more. You and I are no more deserving than anyone else. You and I are no more deserving than anyone else. Remember that. Remember that as you spend time with your family or your friends over this New Year break. Remember that as you go to work, if you're someone who catches a train or drives a car. Think of all of the fellow commuters, people going to work. Think of all those who don't know Christ. And remember that you and I are no more deserving than them to be chosen to be members of God's people. And as we remember this, should we not weep in gratitude to God's grace? Should we not weep that not more people are saved? Should we not weep that our hearts are not more moved to compassion to those who don't know Christ? That we so often are too ashamed to share the gospel. That we so often are more focused on our own comfort than the salvation, than the eternal destiny of those who don't know Christ. Be amazed once more by God's grace to you. And thirdly, let us be moved by God's compassion to actively reach out to the lost in our city. And God wants our hearts to be moved. When our hearts are moved, then we will act in response to our conviction. And the question for us is, what would it look like? What would it look like for us to be moved by God's compassion for the lost? What would it look like in the new year As our prayer as a church is that we would continue, that we would maintain, we would continue growing our heart for the lost. What would we be willing to sacrifice? Financially. What would we be willing to sacrifice in our time? What would we be willing to sacrifice emotionally? What would we be willing to sacrifice in terms of our relationships, our friendships, if we were truly moved by God's compassion for the lost? How wonderful it is we have this opportunity on the 21st to bring the gospel to potentially so many. One way we can be moved is to be earnestly in prayer for that day, for that baptism service. To be prepared spiritually, to be prepared to support that event, to be prepared to speak, to welcome those who are new, those who come. But that's not all, is it? So many more opportunities on a daily and a weekly basis for which we should pray, for which we should weep that we have not done more. And so, pray that God would use us to bring a wider and a deeper response to the gospel, both in this church and amongst those we love and amongst those we do not love as well. Because that is God's grace. That should not only grip us with gratitude, but move us to love those who are outside of our company as well. Let me pray. Father, as we read the story of the book of Job, it's so easy just to read it as another story that's distant and not relevant to our own lives. And yet, God, you are the same God yesterday and today and forever. The same God who revealed yourself to Jonah, to Nineveh. And the same God who revealed yourself to the disciples of Jesus. You're the same God who continues to reveal yourself today. A God who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Lord, who are we that you should choose us? That you should show undeserved kindness and generosity to us? That Christ should die for us? Lord, we pray the truth of your grace might not only be heard in our minds, but that you might move our hearts to a greater love and a greater compassion for the lost in our city. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.